Psalm 18. We'll read a couple verses here. I was, like I said last week, we're not going to read the whole chapter every week. But we'll read a few verses here, and then we'll pick back up where we left off last week. Verse 1 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer and my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Now we may finish up with those verses if we have time allows this morning. Then we'll go, like I said, to the end of the chapter, verses 46 through 50, because again, with this psalm, we're not go over all the stuff we talked about last week. That was mostly just introductory material, but we come down to where we said that this psalm is different than some of the others that we've studied, in that it begins with praise and ends with praise. And usually we see the starts with problems and ends with praise thing going on, but this is different, and we did say that this is written as a song. I mean, I think many of the psalms were written as songs, but this one specifically says the words in the heading there, the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered David out of the hand of all his enemies and such forth there. But we started out talking about point number one, and that was is praises for deliverance in verses 1 through 3. And under that, we got to, that was Roman numeral number 1, if you're all into this outline stuff. And then number 1 under that would be praise in the beginning of David's song. We see that, we said that you can't go wrong with praise and beginning your prayers or any of your songs with praise to the Lord. And under that, then we opened up with the affections in the praise. We've seen that in verse 1 where it says, I will love thee, O Lord. The finest praise for God is to love him. There's many ways that we can praise the Lord, but if we love him, that's the finest way we can do it. You know, if we narrow it down to our families, you know, if I'm, when years ago when I met Angie and we got acquainted, went through 2 years of dating, courting, whatever you want to call it, we grow to know each other and to love each other, and thus then became married and had children, and there's love in our house, love for one another, just like it should be in the house of God, love for one another. Pastor expressed to us back in the room his love and concern for Brother Mike and, of course, his family, but Brother Mike right now, he was saying, you know, he's closer to me than my blood family, and that's the way it should be. That doesn't mean we cast them aside, give up on them, but you know, those that of our family that aren't saved, we don't have the same blood, because we, as believers, share a common blood. That's the blood of Jesus Christ that takes away all our sins, and that makes us a family here in the house of God, and we should love one another. And if you love someone, it's not hard to get along with them. If you love someone, it's not hard to associate yourselves with them. If you love the Lord, you should have fellowship with him. If you love the Lord, you should be associated with him. People should know who you love. I would hope that people know that I love my wife, whether it's here or out in the public. You know, we you know, if Her and I don't get out very often on our own, but when we do, I hope that the public sees that we love each other. We care about each other. You know, we're walking together, we're holding hands or something like that, or we're sitting at a booth in a restaurant talking to each other, not staring at phones, talking to each other, because we love one another. Amen. And that affection there is where I'm getting at here, as we talked about last week. But affections in the praise, we see them where it says, I will love thee, O Lord. What I'm saying with all that I just said was, if we love him, affectionately love the Lord, we will praise him. And that's the best way that we can praise him, is that we just love him. And I say just like it's a little thing, but it's not. It's something special. If the Lord has, if you have accepted the Lord as your Savior, he's forgiven you of your sins and given you eternal life, you should love him. I shouldn't have to tell you that. I hope I don't have to tell you that, but you should love him. And the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And if we would just love the Lord, we would find ourselves praising the Lord. We would find ourselves growing closer and closer to him. That's affections in the praise. Number two is the attributes in the praise. Now, this is a little bit longer, but then the affections, not as many more important, but we see two things about the attributes in the praise. And the first thing is the terms, and the second thing we'll see is the trust. It says the verse 2 and 3 here says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer and my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. David describes God in many different ways in these verses here, verses 2 and 3. And I just looked at these words. I mean, we could go into this thing for weeks if we wanted to, but we're not going to do that. But I just thought, you know what? I'll look up the words, and I'll try to give you a one-word definition for each word and kind of put it all together here. In verse 2, he says here, the first thing he said is, the Lord is my rock, and that's obvious what he means there, his stability, something to hold on to. He says, let me back up. In the ending part of verse 1, it says, O Lord, my strength. What's that mean? The word strength there means that is his help. So the Lord, by giving him, by David saying, the Lord is my strength, he's his help. You know, that if you say there's no strength left in me, there's no help left in you. I was last night when we got home, got settled down from all the events of yesterday and all the hustle and bustle and things going on, and I sat there and took a little nap. Felt pretty good. But then I got up from the nap and sat down to study again, and I told someone there, I said, you know, I don't have any strength. I feel like my arms are going to fall off. I really think I could have chucked firewood all day yesterday and not been as weak as I was last night, but that happens to me from time to time. My weeks, especially with my new job, are very busy, which I don't mind. But it's, you know, there's something going on every day. It makes the day go by. Again, I don't mind that. But when it comes to Saturday, sometimes I'm just, or even Friday night, or maybe even Monday night, I'm a little drained. But I said, I didn't have any strength. But David's saying here, the Lord is my strength. His strength to hold on, his help. He says he's my rock. The word rock here means a stronghold. Turn over to Psalm 91. We'll not reference all these, but maybe a few. Psalm 91. Again, we could run with this thing for weeks, but we're not going to. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 4. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. He's a stronghold. We see here even in Psalm 91 where David writes again about how the Lord is something, his refuge and his fortress, something he can hold on to. But what I've seen when in looking up some verses for this stuff was the secret to him being his strength and his rock is right there in verse 1. It says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you don't spend some time in the secret place with the Lord, He's not going to give you strength. You know, if I would choose, by illustration, if I would choose never, you know, or just occasionally to come to the table at home at night for supper, or occasionally choose to take a lunch with me, or get a bite of breakfast or something, if I just chose to occasionally do that during the week, that strength that I said was waning on Friday nights or even before then would be gone very soon. I wouldn't have strength because I didn't physically feed myself to get strength. And the same way with the Lord. If you don't spend time with Him, He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide. If you're going to abide, you're going to stay. You're going to get the strength and you're going to get the help that you need if you spend time with Him. David said that He was his strength and that the Lord was his rock. He says also in verse 2, he says, and my fortress. The word fortress here means a castle, defense, a fort, or a strong place. You know, when it comes time for the enemies to come after us, whatever, David, you know, I spoke to Pastor Kovas about this yesterday. I said, I find it hard sometimes to teach on David because David lived in such a different time. And his enemies are not the enemies we have today. Now, if you pay any attention, and try not to pay attention to it, but if you pay any attention to the headlines, the enemy is here. Folks, don't be caught off guard. Don't keep your head in the sand. As Pastor Wilson has said, I think we're in a time of reprieve right now with those that are in authority. And God knows that. He got us through the last 4 years and those years before that, and whatever, you know, there's ups and downs in this country, and, you know, we are not citizens of this country. As much as an American as I am not a citizen of this country. And if you just look a little bit, the enemy's out there, a physical enemy that is coming after places just like this. They have crept in here in their country because of open borders and everything else over the last years. And if you pay any attention to that kind of stuff, and you pay attention to the Muslim population that's around, they're not just the friendly little people who work at 7-Eleven, folks. They're not.
Amen.
They have taken over cities. And I don't know. I think possibly in my lifetime, we could see some change. I mean, they're down there 60 miles south of here. They're elected officials now. And it's creeping in, folks. Don't say never. Don't say never. That kind of enemy is what David was faced with, and we may see that again, but I find it hard many times to compare ourselves with David because he had that physical enemy. There's, for the most part, I would say I really don't have any enemies. I got some people that might not like what I have to say, that they may not like it when you witness to them or talk to them about the Lord, or you raise your family for the Lord. Yes, but they're not pounding down my door. They're not pounding down this door out here as of yet. We may see that one day. But David here needed a fortress. He knew what a fortress was. He was a man of war, and he knew what it was to be in the fortress. Many times, as Saul was chasing David, he was out in the wilderness. Spent many years in the wilderness, in caves, and such things as that. He wasn't in a fortress, but he knew what a fortress was, and he said that the Lord was his fortress. He was his castle, his defense, his fort, or his strong place, a place to hide nonetheless. He says he's my deliverer here. He says the deliverer means to carry away safe. Amen. You know, he's not only his strength, his rock, and his fortress, but he's his deliverer, the one that can carry him away safely from the enemy and protect him. You know, folks, one day we will be carried away.
Yes.
The Lord will take us away in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And I believe that time's coming as well, and I hope it comes before the enemy comes. But again, don't keep your head in the sand. Pay attention to what's around you. David didn't keep his head in the sand. He knew what was around him. But same token, don't get caught up in it, because it will reel you in and take your mind from the Lord. He said he was his deliverer, one to carry away safely. And then he says here, he's my deliverer and my God. The word God here means strength. Again, we talked about him being his help when he said, my strength, up there in verse 1, the end of verse 1. But then when we come down here, his God equals strength. David needed help. He needed a stronghold. He needed a castle to stay in or a fort. He needed to be carried away safe, and he needed strength. Folks, we need strength and help. The Lord is strength and help in time of need, the Bible says. And then, again, he says here, after he says, my God, he says, my strength, again here. And this word means a refuge. I thought my mind went to the Old Testament, to the cities of refuge, places that you could go and be protected when you didn't have anyone to protect you. You could go to a city of refuge, and that's what God is to David and what he should be to us. And then he says, he's my buckler. The buckler here means a shield, something to protect. Again, David had that enemy, a physical enemy that, you know, Saul was chucking the spears at him. He needed a shield, something to protect him and his men. And he knew that the Lord could be his buckler or his shield. And then he says that he is the horn of my salvation. That's power. God is David's power in the whole situation. All these are attributes of salvation and deliverance. Every one that we mentioned, the strength, the rock, the fortress, the deliverer, my God, my strength, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, they're all attributes that have to do with salvation and deliverance in David's life. And then at the end of verse 2, he says, he's my high tower. That has to do with security and protection as well. The word high and tower, both these words have the exact same meaning in the Bible dictionary in Strong's. It says a cliff, inaccessible place or refuge. Think about that. That's what David needed. He needed protection. That's what you and I need, is an inaccessible place for the enemy to get to us. You know, if you were, take this to battlegrounds. Steve, what do you want? You want the high ground, don't you? You don't want the low ground. You don't want a repeat of Gettysburg. You want the high ground. You want to take the high ground. You want a place that you can be protected in a time of need. And that's what David had here. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 18. Hold your place there. We'll be back. Proverbs 18. Chapter 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. David knew this. Solomon writing here, he knew this as well, that the name of the Lord was a strong tower, and that the righteous could run to it and be safe. You and I, as well as David, have a safe, inaccessible place to the world, but safe to us, a place that we can go. Again, the verse I read earlier in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place, we have a place that we can go. We have protection in the Lord. They were the terms of the attributes of praise, and then the trust here we see in verse 2 as well. The trust, because of the attributes here, it says, in whom I will trust, right there, lost my place. Right in the middle of verse 2, it says, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. That's the trust in the attributes. God is who David says he is, and therefore David puts his trust in him. Thought about that as I was studying, and I thought, you know, we say that all the time. We say, trust God, trust God, trust God. But do we define it? Do we really know what it means to trust God? There was two things in my study of that came up. One was I wanted to look up the definition, and the other was Jeremiah's Sunday school literature was laying on the table, and it caught my eye, and I pulled it over. I very seldom look at it. I guess I probably should more. But there was a story in there about a family and a mother that had some form of cancer and had to get operated on, and, you know, for sake of names, where little Johnny and little Jane were worried about it, and Dad was trying to tell them that they didn't need to worry about it, but that their mother was in God's hands and that they needed to trust God to take care of it, that they needed to trust God to help the physicians as they looked at their mother and so forth, and as the treatments or whatever would correspond. And so he was trying to teach his children to trust God. And I thought that was rather unique that was laying there, and I picked it up, and it may have been a distraction, but it was a good distraction. And I was reminded that we need to trust God. I was reminded that yesterday afternoon, as we were sitting there at the Fall Fellowship, and I was tending to Mason and helping him out, and I tried to entertain him with different things, and he found that popcorn thing very entertaining. And so I was holding one end of it, and he was crinkling it, he was crushing that popcorn up, and But at the same time, I was multitasking. Brother Mike was on my heart, and I sent him a text message. And so a couple messages corresponded there, and I wasn't necessarily paying attention to Mason until somebody said, "Hey, Dad, look at Mason." And he had got the end open, and that popcorn was going everywhere. You know, he had a blast with that. But the moral to it is not what Mason was doing, or not that I was distracted or multitasking. But I told Brother Mike, I said, I really wish there was something I could do other than pray. Yeah. And I know you all, I'm sure you feel the same way. You feel helpless. What do you do? You see him. I've watched him ever since he got that fever. I sit right there. He sits right there. We get cut up and carried on with each other for years. And you know how Mike was. He's always like, "You want some of this?" Mike ain't asking you if you want some of this no more. The last time he said that to me, he goes, "You don't want none of this. I ain't got the energy for it." But I was reminded, and it takes me to the trust, okay? That's what I'm trying to get to here, is Mike said, when I messaged him, "I wish there was something more I could do," he said, "I know, Ronna. But," he said, "I'm in the Lord's hands, and he's not done with me yet, but I'm in his hands nonetheless, and he's taking care of me." That's trust, folks.
Amen.
The definition of trust is to trust. Don't you love that when you look up something and it says the same thing that you're looking up? I never understood that as a kid, you know. That along with, "Mom, how do you spell this word?" Or teacher or somebody at school, "How do you spell this word?" "We'll look it up." "Well, I don't know how to spell it. How am I supposed to look it up?"
Amen.
To trust, to have confidence, to be confident, to be bold, to be secure. I'll leave you with this verse. I can't say no more because I'm too choked up. Nahum 1 and verse 7. "The Lord is good, a stronghold in day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him."